Okay. My name is Russell Edson. Actually, I met Russell today at Panera's. I asked him if he would read for me. He said yes. He didn't show up, so I have to read. Anyway, I'm going to read three poems. One note. Relax, maker of poems. Relax, second-class machinist. Relax, viola player. Fuck it. I hate getting up in the mornings with yesterday's metal shavings between my toes. Might as well be a musician. The secret is to make one sound that lasts forever. You'll find out. One day you'll be playing Rishpigi, the fountains of Rome. That one spot in the piece after the assemblage of horns and trumpets and clarinets and violins and musty rooms and cigars and mother's silence as we sit for hours and play five-card rummy. And when suddenly the orchestra stops and I am alone and have to play that one note, the single note that lasts forever as my trembling hand shakes the bow and the silence and the world listening. It doesn't matter. It is the blueberries, no, the blackberries, that trouble me the most. Though there was a time when the berries, were they really blueberries? When the indigo flooded my soul, and even though the crayons that I left on the mantelpiece, oh, I know crayons do not belong on the mantelpiece. I keep doing those sorts of things. Mother gave me a good crank plank. Oh, I'm so cold tonight. The heat is up, and anyway, the landlord said he would raise the rent if... But I don't want to talk about that. If only... Wait. I'm still scratching my head from the fleas. Oh, the berries we picked when we were kids in the Catskills. Now, where did Mother get the money to take us to the Catskills? And it was on her mind to sell my father's flute. She kept talking about my father's flute. And why? It's all the same whether she sold it or not. Oh, I'm so cold tonight. It was because of the crayons that I left and went my way. Though my ass was red from the crank planks, it was not because I didn't deserve them. No, that's not the point. The point is, well, what is the point? It was smart-ass Vernon Spiegelman who asked me what the point was when I was giving a speech, and he, oh, I must tell you about Vernon Spiegelman, about his one-man show, about his walking out on the stage completely naked, except for the blue ribbon bow on his penis. And it was Gertrude Hildegard who then trooped her entire fourth grade class in single file out of the auditorium. Shame on you, Vernon Spiegelman, for awakening Freud's inn into the sanctity of the human soul. Oh, now I'm completely lost. What was it? It is the blueberries. No, the blackberries that trouble me. I remember now, it was Hamlet, that great play that I lectured about without having read it. And it was in the office where I worked for Mr. Hollowsaddle. Anyhow, he wouldn't sign my autograph book. He said, "What's the point?" Oh, I am so cold tonight. No, not tonight. This night. Oh, I am so cold this night. Oh, yes. That sounds like Shakespeare. Don't you think? Shakespeare, who buried himself not telling us anything about who he was. Yes, it is the blackberries, where they were growing in that hidden place, and I went at them, and that was when my hands were torn up from the grabbing, and I remember Mama saying I shouldn't be greedy. Yes, it is the blackberries that trouble me. And anyhow, what's done is done. Gertrude, like a rose, you know, come now. And I remember telling her it doesn't matter that when she tried to fry the onions, the pot fell off the stove and tore a hole in the linoleum because there were more important things on her mind that night. And I remember telling her that it doesn't matter that she stole my father's flute. And anyway, who would be left to play it now? That was of white fire made, covered with dust, nothing to see, retreat, no window, no use trying to see, crying again, and now she's gone. The window, the sea, and the near sundown, and child again from nowhere, and once, and she was gone again, almost sundown. That was, and the sudden dark, and eyes closing, and the lights downtown, red and yellow, crying now. Why? The wild beasts roaming, flying. Hinkle painted a sea that was stark white, a bit of a boat struggling. The surf fell down. The boat rose with the crest of the wave, speaking to him in a strange tongue, as if he didn't know all along that he would meet that sea that was of white fire made, that beckoned and spoke in so many tongues, with the city lights behind and the swirls to gray. And again through that window many things that were familiar from a long time ago, when he sat a child on the sand, and Mrs. Berezovsky, who was very fat, and his mother near her, sitting upright with a proud look that hid the horror to this place of that place, and the villagers overcome with their horses and swords. And Santa Monica with its kindly sand, and where he sat with his pail and shovel, digging into the soft sand until the wetness came, and deeper, the sand dispersed and driven by the wind stinging his eyes, and she wore the look of pride that hid the shame and what he saw through the window, and in an instant was gone. when he wandered, covered with dust, nothing to see, retreat, no use trying to see, crying again, and now she's gone. Thank you.
If you'd like to read some, not those poems, but other poems by Joseph, you can just Google up Joseph Karasek. There are a lot of poems online. There's some on the Squirrel Hill Workshop website. There's a remarkable poem about the Vienna Symphony, which I believe is still online. I think that's still available online. There's a lot of his work, and I hope you'll look for it, and I hope you consider getting a copy of his books, one or both. And he will sign them for you if you do. And in a little known fact is that Jean Hirsch and Joseph both went to school at two places in common, but not quite at the same time. First, music and art in New York, and then Manhattan School of Music. Little known fact. And then they were living next door to each other for a while. It was very strange. Okay, here, actually. Okay. Went, gee, you went to music and art? Oh, and they both studied with Stefan Volpe. It was very important for both of them, I believe. Yes. Now, the third reader in this set is Rick St. John, who is one of my favorite people in the world, and is an amazing poet, and has a book called The Pure Inconstancy of Grace that was published by Truman State University Press, a truly extraordinary book. And I believe he has some copies for sale tonight. He also has a new book called Shrine, a chapbook that came out from Finishing Line, which is really interesting. It's all one big poem. And it's about some time he was in Japan. The speaker of the poem was in Japan anyway. And I think Rick was also in Japan. And so those of you who've never heard Rick before, you were really in for an amazing experience, as has been the experience of hearing each of these poets tonight, and will be for the two more to come. As we conclude this set, Richard St. John.